Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can you hear me? Hi, Paige. Well, Merry Almost Christmas. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us this morning as we do a combined worship to start our day out. We're going to begin this morning with a song called He Shall Reign Forevermore. We only do this a couple times a year around Christmas time. So you might not be real familiar with it, but the chorus repeats over and over again. So I invite you just to join in along with us as you get comfortable with it. So let's just give our attention to God and let's sing His praises.
In the bleak midwinter, groans for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and He shall.
As we gather this morning, if you're a guest among us today, we invite you to complete the communication card, the yellow card in the worship folder, and allow us to follow up with you in celebration of your presence here this morning. I want to note that the pink sheet has all the poinsettia listings in. This year, just to note that we purchased the poinsettias through Fulton Bank in support of New Hope Ministries. So all the proceeds, instead of going to a florist, actually went to New Hope Ministries. And we're very grateful of your support for that. And I think they look as beautiful as they've always have, if not even more. So we're grateful for Fulton Bank's support of New Hope Ministries that way and our chance to support them. I'd like to take a moment now and turn your attention to the white insert, the 40 days of prayer, faith groups, and if we could lower the lights, I'd like you to receive this message on that upcoming study from Pastor Rick Warren.
Hi, I'm Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Life and pastor at Saddleback Church. You know, I've been in ministry for about 45 years. And I've seen God break through all kinds of impossible situations, enormous barriers, overwhelming obstacles, situations you thought there's no way this is going to work out. But time after time, God broke through. And you know what I've learned is that breakthroughs happen when you seek them. They don't just happen spontaneously. Breakthroughs don't happen to people who aren't looking for them. You get a breakthrough in your life when you seek a breakthrough from God. And the way you do that is through prayer. That's why this fall, I want to invite you and your church, your congregation, to join Saddleback and thousands of other churches in what we're calling 40 Days of Prayer. We're going to talk about the kinds of prayer that bring breakthrough in our relationships, in our finances, in the habits that have held us back, in painful memories, and so many, many other areas. If you're interested in breakthroughs in your life, if you're interested in a breakthrough of renewal and revival in your church, if you'd like to see a breakthrough of God in our country, in our nation, I want to invite you to join us, your congregation, in 40 days of prayer this fall, 2017. Write me and we'll send you all the information.
We're actually going to do the 40 days of prayer beginning January 7th, so very, very soon. And I'd like you to look at that insert. Carol Pergam just shared with me that they had to run some more worship folders, and about 40 people that came in do not have that insert, but she's going to get those ready, and they'll be available outside when you're headed out this morning. We have probably about 70 people or so signed up thus far, and we haven't really pushed it specifically until this week and next week and then the first Sunday in January. But there are a variety of groups planned. We hope to have a group every day of the week, and you'll see that our What's Up Wednesday groups, we already have four of those groups filled and haven't really even pushed the sign-up so far. If you have not signed up, we want to urge you, I want to encourage you, and I, as your pastor, want to beg you a bit to consider being part of this and participate. And what God might do with us as a faith community is together. Can you imagine if we're all together focused for 6 weeks of prayer, communication with God, what God might do with us? Sunday has a couple morning groups. We are looking for a facilitator for that second group that we've opened up. And you can look through the week. I want to note that there are already two additions to this. Monday afternoons at 4:00, the men's group that meets for Operation Timothy, they meet at 4:00 on Tuesday or Monday afternoons. They are participating in this now. And also Wednesday evening, a men's gathering group during What's Up Wednesday is available as well. So if you're interested in either of those, just mark it down. If you're looking for an opportunity that's not listed here, note that and put it in the worship folder and we will follow up with you. The last time we did that all-church study, it all goes back in the box. How many of you remember that one? It had some significant impact for more than a few people. And this one promises to do just the same, if not even more. But the Christ gift requires our participation. And I think it's one of the reasons God saw fit to come to us in the form of a baby, because a baby desires us and calls us to actually participate and pick him up. So won't you please consider that as we move forward into this season of prayer as we celebrate the Christ child. David, what?
The men's Bible study on Saturday morning, also this week, decided we would lay aside the Bible study for 6 weeks and do that. So if there's any men who would like to be a part of the men's group, Saturday morning at 7:30, we gather to do this 40 days.
Okay. Thank you. The Saturday morning men's study is doing it as well. And you'll see that there, that's not to exclude women. There are at least one, maybe two, I think, two, a Monday evening and a Friday morning women's group as well. So we are separatist in more ways than one, which is okay. But I want you to know that the women aren't being excluded. Won't you rise as able as we worship our God on this Christmas Eve day?
Rich inspire your heavenly soul.
going to invite Cheryl Baer, our Director of Youth Ministries, forward to introduce a person that will be bringing light to our Advent candles this morning.
Good morning, church. God is good. And all the time.
Good.
And it's good to be before you today. To now, well, first I have to let you know, I mean, we have an awesome youth leadership team. Just the people that pour into and pray for our students, I'm just very proud of and glad to have a part of youth ministry. But today I'm here to announce to you that we have a new youth intern. Sarah Foltz is joining our team and bringing all her gifts and talents. She has been a part of the youth and is now attending HAC and is a little atypical. She's not thinking of pursuing youth ministry at this time. but she just has a heart for the youth. She has given a witness before you probably 6 or 8 years ago about how God's presence and power in her life after going through a loss of a friend of hers in school. And she knows the challenges and the joys of middle school and high school. It's a little bit more fresh for her than most of our team. And she is just excited to join us and walk alongside all of our students and just pour into them as well. So can we welcome Sarah as she comes up and she'll light the Advent calendar.
Good morning, everybody. I started attending Aldersgate when I was in about 6th or 7th grade. Before that, I attended a church called Christian Life Assembly. The youth was about 300 to 400 kids, so a little more than here. I was the only kid that attended East Penn, so it was very hard for me to connect with people there. And my cousins went here, so they suggested that I come and attend Aldersgate and just kind of get a feel for it. And the second I walked through the door, people that I didn't know were coming up to me, introducing themselves, just being super friendly, and it was just such a welcoming place. So we decided to make the transition and attend Aldersgate and become a part of the congregation. And then going through high school, I was always involved in youth, did all the missions trips, all the ministries. And then towards the end of high school, I ended up getting jobs, going back and forth. I could never be off Sundays, so my attendance kind of backed off a little bit. And just recently, I managed to convince my bosses to give me off on Sundays so I could come back. And I attended a youth group. I got to know a couple of the kids. And a couple days later, Cheryl messaged me and asked if I could meet her for lunch and just offered me this wonderful opportunity. And I don't know, there was just something about the timing that worked out perfectly, and something inside of me told me that it was time to come back. And I was welcomed with open arms. And I look forward to getting to know all of your children and hopefully being a part of their journey to finding their religion where it needs to be. So when a baby's about to be born in our family and friendship circles, we often say, let me know when the baby's on the way. Well, one of the things about Advent season is that for 4 Sundays, we announce that the baby is on the way. Today, the Advent wreath will be filled to the brim with light, and the baby is almost here. But now, the intentional work of taking that baby in, of living with him each day in every moment begins. The Christ child will grow up and demand that we follow him. This Christ child soon brings to speak to the child in each of us, calling us to maturity, to deeper love for his world, commanding our future paths, these Savior, mighty to save, to live a life of significance all of our days. Join me today in inviting the baby in so that he may have the ultimate say in our lives. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Time of prayer, and the blue cards are in the back of the pews. If you have a prayer concern or a joy that you'd like to write down on that card and bring it up and place it on the altar, you can do that. Very unusual. We don't have any prayer shawls or blankets on the kneelers this week. Last week, I think we had 9. So there's such a need, and that's such a wonderful ministry. And I'm sure that God will continue to bless it as we move into this next year. But just know that the cross and the kneelers are open, so if you feel led to come up and pray at the cross, you can certainly do that as we sing together a Christmas offering.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. 3 wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering.
God, we thank you for your decision to pour yourself out in your fullness and your glory and your grace and your mercy and your compassion and your truth in the form of a child, the babe of Bethlehem, who grew to call us to follow him, who would show us the way, who would break down the barriers that we, by our human nature, would want to build up as we accentuate our differences and ignore our commonality as receivers of the breath of life that you poured into each living person. Lord God, in the continuing fracturedness of this world, in the midst of our human condition and nature to want to be clannish, to want to have borders and separate ourselves one from another, we need your salvation gift as much as ever. Come into the dark night of our souls and of this world, and remind us that you indeed, through the cross of Calvary and through the resurrection then to come, have won victory over sin and over the grave. Lord, you know intimately the people that in this moment, in this hour, suffer in ways that many of us could not even imagine. Suffering without food or decent water to drink. Suffering without shelter. Suffering in the midst of being chased from their homes because of threat to life and limb, some by their government, others by different movements of darkness in the lands that they live in. We pray especially, Lord, for our Christian sisters and brothers oppressed, unable to speak the name of Jesus without fear of retribution, and yet they do so nonetheless. Encourage and embolden us by their witness. Help us to catch a glimpse of the real Christ festival, which is your arrival to live in our lives and to show us a way. As we move through this day, Lord, grant us a few solitary moments with your Spirit, that we might use the breath that you breathed into us to seek your peace and to know a purpose beyond the commercialism and the culture naming of what Christmas is, that we might allow you to be born anew in our hearts today, and that Jesus might indeed be the one who shows us the way to multiply his light, his goodness, and the salvation message in all our days. Hear our prayers, all for your glory and goodness. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As the choir comes forward, let us offer for the ministries of Christ, God's tithes, and our offerings. place it in our hands for a time and a season, and you're very attentive to how we handle and respond to what you poured into our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that teaches us and recreates us in your giving image, and for your self-giving poured out in Christ the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing gifts to us, and thank you for teaching us to be a people that share what you've given us in our living. All to Christ's glory. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm sure many of you've noticed that our giving gap that we had and I shared with about three Sundays ago was about 40,000 as we approached near the end of the year, is now down to about $9,000, which is an amazing tribute to your love and your gift of gratitude toward God. Thank you for those that have made efforts to try to bridge that gap. We're very grateful as we move toward the end of the year, especially since today we just have one combined service, and next week, just a reminder, we have one combined service at 10 o'clock as well, and hope that you are able to make your way to worship as we gather as God's people. Our scripture today continues from last week, and then moves to 2 Samuel. I'd like to read a portion of John chapter 1. As John shares with us the recreation of God our Creator to come back in to the world He made and set things aright. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. Without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, and we can proudly and boldly add, by the Spirit's gift, does not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. Now he himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This evening we'll continue with that proclamation as we gather on Christmas Eve. A reminder that 5:30 is the children's Christmas musical, and there's been a lot of effort and time and investment and love poured into that. And then 7:30 is more of a family worship gathering, and then 11 o'clock we have communion. Each of those services do have candle lighting, and we obviously invite you to join us. Our passage today is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to set the stage for this a bit. David has finally ascended to the kingship by which he was anointed. He's had to seek very valiantly and with great effort to escape Saul and Saul's henchmen to wipe him out. And David is in a position of significance, thanks to God, and he wants to honor God for that. And here begins this reading. Now, when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" And then continuing with verse 16. "Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Would you join me in prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come like the fire and refine us, burn the chaff away. Come like the wind and blow away that which fills our minds and distracts us. Come like the rain and cleanse, and come in the form of Jesus of Bethlehem and draw us unto you, that we might become more wholly yours and a holy work through all our days. Amen. Samuel, he's the one that anointed David king. Some of you might remember that story. You also might remember that Samuel is the one who, when he heard the call of God in the midst of the night, said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Would you humor me and all of us say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening"? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Maybe you were humoring me when you did that, but actually that's what God desires of each of us. Speak, Lord, I'm trying to listen. Samuel anoints David while David's father and older brothers stand alongside, and they keep thinking, oh, it must be this brother that's going to be the anointed one, because he's the accomplished one, or he's the older one, or he's the significant one. And eventually Samuel says, "Don't you have any other sons?" "Well, there's the little one. He's in the field tending the sheep. Go get him." I wish the King James Version would add, "You want us to get him, but he stinketh. He's with the sheep." Because that's really how we look at situations, and God looks at them very differently. He knows we stinketh. That's why he came to be born in that Bethlehem night. He knows that we abide in darkness and are oftentimes drawn to it. That's why he came in that Bethlehem night. He knows we're distracted by the busyness of the world, and we can occupy ourselves with all kinds of things that take our focus off. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Because he knows the human condition. He created us with free will, and he saw the free will go terribly awry. So in the fullness of time, he recreated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not one thing came into being. In him was life. And he cast himself in the human flesh. I was telling the praise team a bit ago, yesterday, Thursday and then yesterday, I spent a fair amount of time in the NICU, the neonatal of intensive care unit of Harrisburg Hospital. How many of you remember Josh Brooks I had here maybe about 5 years ago? Josh was the brick mason and the stone carver. Remember him building? I was privileged to meet Josh when he was about 8 years old, and I was his pastor in Dillsburg. I did his wedding, he and Steph's wedding, probably about 5 years ago. They had a little boy, Noah Paul, on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, he had some issues. He's a bit premature in development, and he can't bring up that which his body's trying to bring up, and he begins to lose his heart rate. So after a couple scares on the regular floor, they had to rush him to NICU, and that's where he's at now. He's doing better. But as I stood there yesterday with them, looking this little baby wrapped so tight in swaddling clothes, you know, wrapped tight so he feels the warmth and the security of a mom that can't be holding him as much now, I thought, oh my goodness, this is what the Savior of the world looked like. This tiny little baby. He comes into our struggles. You ever doubt God's wisdom? Or if you ever doubt that this is trustworthy and true? If human beings would have made this story, do you think the Savior would have come in the form of a little baby in a back dark alley to a teenage unwed mom? Do you think that's what human beings would have written about our Savior? Huh? Not in it. Not a chance. We would have had him coming with guns a-blazing, or at least lightning bolts a-blazing, because he was going to come and save us and wipe out all our enemies and fix it all. But God the Father knew that this creation that he gave free will to, the only way to fix it was to catch our hearts. And how better to do that than in a baby vulnerable? To be drawn to a baby. To pick that baby up. And to allow that baby to steal our hearts. Jesus comes into our struggles that he might call us for loyalty and obedience as he grows and becomes the Savior. Loyalty and obedience to God the Father, as opposed to trusting in our own self-chosen pathways and priorities. He comes to us knowing that even when we believe we're walking with him, that we need to listen attentively and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening," because a lot of times when I'm walking with Jesus, I start thinking that my conclusions and my thoughts and the way I see the world must be how God sees it. David was experiencing that. David, a man after God's own heart. He finally has arrived at the pinnacle of the destination God promised and anointed for him. He is king. He's living in a finally appointed house. His heart is after God's heart. And in his mind, he thinks the Lord needs a house. And if I'm walking with God and I think it, then it equates that God must be thinking it too, right? Oh, how wrong. Just because I'm thinking it and I've accepted Jesus or walking with the Christ does not mean I don't need to test it with the Holy Spirit. Because I could be concluding a lot of things very wrongly and attributing them to God. Do you realize how many things get attributed to God by we broken human beings? God made me do it. Well, it probably wasn't the right thing to be doing, but it all worked out, so God had a plan for it. This is a God who loves justice and mercy and humility. And that never changes throughout all of Scripture. If we can't test it in the spirit against those core characters of who God is, it probably ain't of God, and we should stop attributing it to him. What we can attribute to him is he will never relent in trying to speak to us. David experiences that. Nathan, set up to be a prophet and a divine intercessor for God, he hears David say, "See, I'm living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God, the Holy of Holies, is in a tent." Nathan says, "Go, do all you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." That's like you guys saying to me, "Troy, God has you in a position as a pastor. If you're thinking it, God's with you. Go do it." That's a dangerous thing to tell me sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. Well, I'm in good company because David's struggling with that, and if you are, you can confess it too. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. You ever think this God does some of his finest work in the cover of darkness, the babe of Bethlehem, speaking to Nathan? How about Mary and Joseph? "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build a house for me to live in? I've not lived in a house since the days I brought you all out of Egypt. Have I ever said to you, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" No, God never said that. He goes on through this passage here, and he does say, "I will build a house out of you and your ancestors. It'll be the house of David. It'll be through the Savior, Christ the Lord," the prophecy. But just to stick with this on this Christmas Eve morning, as we get to this passage today, Nathan goes back to David and says, "You're not to do this." And David has the good sense to listen, and he doesn't do it. What does the Lord really want of David? He wants him to be the type of a king and a leader that reflects God's holiness. He wants David to allow God to dwell in him, his righteousness, his will, his truth, his purpose. There's a difference between knowing that you're walking with the Lord and allowing the Lord to steer your walk. That's what Joseph and Mary did. They allowed the Lord to steer their walk in a way that they never could have imagined. You know the story. I'm not going to go into the details. They aren't married, and Joseph, in a dream in the middle of the night, is told, "Hey, Mary's with child." We haven't been together. She's with child, and it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, sure it is. But somehow Joseph allows his path to be directed. And then Mary. Mary says, in response to this magnificent news, she says what we now call Mary's song: "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You know, I think David, part of David's desire to build a house for the Lord to reside in, was part of David trying to figure out how to rejoice in the Lord. He wasn't trying to do a bad thing. He wasn't trying to be disrespectful. He was beyond excited that God had proven himself faithful. David was rejoicing. But he was rejoicing in the way that most of us rejoice, by trying to do something. Mary ushers in a new kind of life worship. She rejoices by trying to be something and to become something. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Most every Christmas, you hear me use the big word, theotokos. Theos, theology, God conversation, God talking. Theo, God, tokos is bearer. Theotokos is the God bearer. Mary is seeking to become the bearer of God. And indeed, by the gift of the Spirit, she does. But it's an early invitation to us of what we will learn about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you and I receive the gift of Christ and the Holy Spirit, where does God then reside? Anyone? It's supposed to be residing in us. God in us, the hope of glory. How many of you have all your presents wrapped for Christmas? That looks about 20% maybe. How many of you have a lot of things to do today? How many of you are thinking, okay, Troy, I have a lot of things to do today. It's time to wrap this up. Well, I'm going to do it right now. But before I do, I want to invite you to consider this interceding moment of the Holy Spirit. David knew what he had to do, and he wanted to get on with it. And what did God say? Stop! That's not what I need, nor what I want. Joseph heard what God had in store, and Joseph basically initially said, stop, I need to divorce this woman and end this movement toward marriage. And God's Spirit said, tarry with me a little more, and you might become a gift that bears my son. And then Mary should be adored, you know. Not worshiped, but she should be adored. If there was anyone in Scripture who had a purity of heart, it was Mary. She allowed God's good news to descend on her, and she didn't try to do a thing except receive it and rejoice in the moment. Don't let this Christmas go by. Don't let this Christmas Eve or Christmas Day go by without you taking safe sanctuary time to rejoice. Did you hear how that 2 Samuel passage began? After David had finished with all his enemies, the Lord gave him rest. The Hebrew term for rest is manua. Manua. Not manure, manua. David, I saw you giving me that eye. Manua. The Lord gave him rest. Church, we have much to do with regard to sharing light. But before we can do any of that, we must manua in the Lord. We must rest and rejoice in what God has given us. In closing, I'm going to ask Christy to come to the piano, and I'm going to ask each of you to turn to page 160 in the hymnal, the red hymnal, 160. 160. As this scripture was working on me, a couple weeks ago as I identified it and was working on me, I kept hearing myself hum a great old hymn. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing. We are the modern-day angels called to announce to the world that Christ has intervened. We don't have to be fearful or fretting or afraid. And our lives are called to be the God-bearers. You and I don't need to build a mighty temple for God. We need to be willing to become His temple. I'm going to ask Christy to play this. And for this to be a Manua moment of rejoicing and rest, listen to it once through. Verse 1 as an announcement that Christ has come to give us rest. Look at verse 3. Because when Christ comes, we're not promised everything's going to be fine and totally fair. Yea, on life, through life's long path, still chanting as ye go, from youth to age, by night and day, in gladness and in woe. In all times, the God-bearer, those who say, Christ, I want you to dwell in me, we can be assured that the Spirit's taken up residence in us. That's why we can sing when times are tough. My friend in Christ, Josh Brooks, yesterday was telling me about that. In the midst of watching his baby begin to lose breath and turn blue, as I went in yesterday and stood with Josh about 30 minutes before we went in the NICU, he said, Troy, you know, in all things, I keep trying to think it could be a lot worse. And I try to look for God present. You know what Josh was for me yesterday? Years ago, I was his mentor. You know what he was for me yesterday? He was a God bearer. A Theotokos. Do you want to claim the same? Verse 3. The march shall end. The wearied ones shall rest. The pilgrims will find their way to the heavenly home, Jerusalem the blessed. And then praise God who reigns on high until that day comes. The Lord whom we adore, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God forevermore. He is worthy of his own temple. He is worthy of a place of divine presence and resting. And you know where that place is, church. In you and me. We're the temple of the Lord. I invite, if you want to respond in rejoicing and angelic song to God the Father, to the Christ of Bethlehem, I invite you to rise as able as we sing verses 4 and 5 and as the praise team comes forward. Lift your voices, you are the choir of God.
At last the march shall end, the weary one shall rest, the pilgrims find their heavenly home, Jerusalem the blessed. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. Praise God.
Rejoice in Christ this Christmas. Do it not worrying about what you need to do, but how you need to be to take him in and bear him to one another. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If I don't see you this evening, have a most blessed and manure-filled Christmas. Amen.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, unto the Son of God. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things the path of knowledge shows, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
Israel.
come to thee, O Lord.